A very good morning to you. I'm David Ellis. Welcome to this edition of Down to Brass Tacks. It is the 22nd day of January 2021. With me at the controls is Dennis Johnson, technical operator and the producer. We are with you up until 2 o'clock today. And as usual, you can call us at 434-1790. Well, I'm going to come straight to the telephone lines this morning to hear who is first in line and what's the issue that they have on their mind. So, welcome to Down to Brass Tacks, the Friday edition. Hello? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
This is David Ellis.
Oh, David. Sorry about that.
Yes.
I call because I want to ask something to you, so I will hold on there.
Because you wanted to ask a question?
No, it's something to do with the program, too. Not that I want to say what.
Well, will you proceed, please?
Oh, Miss Ellis?
Yes.
Am I on the air?
You are.
Oh, okay. Miss Ellis?
Mm-hmm.
Every morning, I listen to Sajiko, 20 past 8.
Mm-hmm.
This morning, as usual, up to 8:30, no Sajiko.
So. It came after.
Yeah, so what I did, I went to start preparing my breakfast. And while in the kitchen preparing my breakfast, I heard a voice, and I moved back in the direction of the radio. So I pick up the ending of that gentleman's contribution, Mr. Ford. Gentleman from Canada?
Yes, Carlos Ford.
So, yeah, what I don't want to hear, because I really don't do it, but I'm accused of it, I don't want to hear that I want to control the program in the station. Is it possible that that can be rebroadcast? That I could get the whole, because I enjoy what I heard.
I know you enjoyed it because it was critical of the government's policy, so you would enjoy it.
It was critical, Miss Ellis?
Yes.
I thought it was explaining what was going on.
No, it was critical. Everybody knows.
So, in other words,
would have known that.
No, if you're speaking what is going on, you're critical. That you're saying that to me?
No. It certainly was a critique of how the government has been dealing with the economic situation and making some suggestions as to how government should proceed. It certainly indicated that the best program is a bus, that it has not been a success, and that the government should be putting resources behind Barbadians to the same degree that it is seeking to appease the tourists and the hoteliers. That's what it said. That's what he said in the piece that was carried.
I only call in case I could hear the. And I talked to a couple of my friends the thing last year.
I could send it to you.
No, but they want to hear it too.
Well, you.
I got a couple of friends.
You sought to drum up some support for people to demand that they hear it.
No, Miss Ellis, you might not know. Plenty of people listen to that program in the morning, and they miss it this morning.
Oh, they miss it this morning.
Yeah, it had to start about 8:45.
Well, I am going to.
Oh, you didn't know it didn't come over at 20 past 8?
No, I'm aware.
But it had to be about 8:45.
So,
kindly, if you'd be so kind.
Well, let me ask Dennis Johnson to see if he can pull it up for you so that
not for me,
you,
for the listeners, the 40 odd.
Mr. Johnson, its link is ERB0122. So that
okay, my final one because
so
I.
So
really,
you can stay until you're gonna stay until you hear it or.
No, I just about that every day. Even if it don't come over on brass tacks, once it on, you'll be able to hear it. You don't mean that I have to come over in brass tacks, but I would like it broadcast again. Now, yeah. Mr. Ellis, before you, let me move on that and get to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Now. People like Alvin is get criticized for a lot of things. And that is why you say don't be on the air now for a joke. Now, I heard something a couple of days ago. And I keep listening and listening and getting people who's reading paper to me to give me. There's a gentleman who was on the air, and he asked a simple question. The person refused to answer the question. And when the question was repeated, the way it was answered, like if it was answered, you don't hear it. I think that persons in the print media and the radio stations should have said something about what happened to that gentleman. I think he's Emmanuel Joseph. What I heard was embarrassing. And I'm telling you this. If Professor O'Hara had done that, or Flinders Short, they would have been lambasted
by
the media.
By
the media. And I'm saying this. I don't know if feminism is getting involved in Barbados now at the top of this country in leadership. But I find that there are people who say and do anything, and it goes unanswered. Anybody listen to that program and witness what happened to Mr. Joseph is a bad, bad thing where democracy in Barbados is concerned, and the media should be on top of it. And Mr. Ellis, you have a good day.
Well, you know, the way I look at these matters is that when a question is posed to somebody in public life, the first test is whether the question is valid. If that question is valid, then the onus is on the person who is asked the question to handle it in a manner that the public would appreciate and understand. The question is posed not for the sake of the person who is posing the question. It is posed on behalf of the people of the country. Because there are many people out there who would be looking for an answer to that particular question. Media practitioners are only intermediaries. We are the ones who facilitate the questions and concerns of the public to those who are in positions, in responsible positions. I saw what took place, and quite a number of people were concerned about the response that came, or at one stage the lack of response which came from the Prime Minister, because you don't want to say explicitly that it was the Prime Minister, because I don't know what's happening with you people. Why are you so afraid to say what is there? And therefore, the Prime Minister will have to take the criticism that goes with that. Everybody knows that she didn't respond to the question. And the reporter rightly said, well, I didn't hear an answer. It is at that point that she said no. But you and I know full well that the question was not out of place. It was a reasonable question to ask in these circumstances. All right? So there are times when people in public life get it right, and there are times when you get it wrong. There are times when the pressure shows, the stress of it all. And at the end of the day, Prime Minister has done quite a lot that has been good and positive, but from time to time, like any other human being, she will slip up. We all do. And when she does, she is going to be open to the same scrutiny as anybody else, because that is how Barbados is. You know, it isn't just calling programs and just the media practitioners who really exert influence on what is going on here, you know. You see social media, a lot of influence is exerted by especially younger people who don't hold back, who tell you about it as they see it. So I thought at the end of the day that was a slip, and therefore the Prime Minister will have to, you know, look at it, review it. There are some people who felt that she should have apologized to him. You know, I've seen people say that on social media. There are supporters of the government who will see nothing wrong with it and will basically rejoice and see it as, you know, a negative against the journalists. I don't see it that way. I think the journalist did what he was supposed to do, and he did it in a manner that I felt was decent and proper. So that's my view on it. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks, welcome.
Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, sir. Can you just please give me a little hearing, please? There was a gentleman who called in on your program, and he is a professional, and he would have noted, like, I would even have heard Dr. Phil, who is an overseas psychologist, that people in general tend to like labels. They like to stigmatize people. They like to ostracize people, right? And in this society, we have a culture where, you know, even people who have been incarcerated, they are not allowed to fit back into society. You know, for some of us who don't have a strong support network, whether it be family or friends, it is very hard to find your way into society if something goes wrong. Now, in my particular family, I have so-called Christian family, different denominations. And the way they treat me, I really sometimes have to sit back and question, you know, which God they claim to be serving, because I do not find them at all to be compassionate. I find them to have a lot of double standards.
But isn't that normal? That's not human? You sound as though they're behaving in a way that is so peculiar.
No, but what I'm saying, when people point the fingers at me because, you know, they say, oh, but it must always be you that the fault is at, you know, they don't understand that, like you were saying, there are different dynamics in life that can cause different situations to prevail. I don't know if you understand where I'm coming from.
Well, you need to be more specific because you're so general. That all I can say is that this is something that
we all experience. You know, you can't put everything out there because it is like you would probably be exposing a situation that you really don't want to. So because a lady called in and she was saying, oh, I needed help and I needed to get counseling. And the same counseling place that she had said that I needed to go, I have been to that counseling agency with my own money that I work for. And because my hair was dyed, I was looked at like in scorn. And I remember I used to hear a term coming up, this holier than thou attitude. I never even realized that it was a term in the Bible. And the woman looked at me like, oh, you have low self-esteem. I mean, just because I had my hair dyed, you know. So this society,
Are you sure that she could come to a conclusion?
Sir, she did not even speak with me. She just looked at me.
Instead that you got low self-esteem?
I got low self-esteem. Because in Barbados, people, this society is very, very strange. And I think, I believe, although that I suffer with depression, and I put that in quotation marks because I've been through a lot, you know, the way I carry myself, I think it upsets a lot of people. And there are some men who expect you to be an easy target, and because you are not the type of person that allows them to get their way with you the way they would like, it does not settle well with them.
As you said just now, because you suffer from depression, you are going to have a perspective on your own experience and how people respond to you from time to time in a way that may not square with how they see you, and sometimes it will. And, you know, the question of treatment and counseling for people who endure depression in this country is one that really needs to be looked at with a greater degree of attention and stuff. You find that, especially in a period like this where COVID has been on people's minds to such a great degree, very little attention really is paid to the mental health of Barbadians, you know. We look at physical health and stuff like that, but mental health needs that special effort. And people like you going through what you experience, you know, and having this perspective on how people are looking at you and treating you.
Well, I don't want you to think that I walk around paranoid. Let me give you an example of something that happened.
I really don't think.
Because I share something. I was going through I recently had a loss in my life. My dad passed away. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I linked back up with an aunt that lived overseas. And some suspicions that I had had over the years that my father was not appreciated in the family, it really came to light after I got to meet her. And I said to myself that I'm going to block her because she's too negative, because I was grieving and she was telling me, you know, oh, he's dead and blah, blah, blah. And she was not allowing me to grieve my dad's death. So I said, I can't deal with this anymore. And I blocked her from off of, you know, the social media WhatsApp. So I just happened to be talking to a lady. I was sharing with her what I was going through. And she said to me, but you don't look like anybody that's going through anything. And I find, like, in our society, what people do, they put all their burdens on people automatically. So, like, if they're working, they're on money, they're broke. You know, whether we don't have a society where women can sit down and share, you know.
Let me ask you something.
Yes, please.
You've identified all the negatives. Mm-hmm. All right. Let me ask you. Have you been in contact with anybody in recent times where you took on the positive role? Rather than looking at the negatives that you see in other people.
What do you mean by the positive? I am saying to you.
I'm asking you a question. My question to you is simply this. Hmm. When is the last time you were involved in a conversation with somebody else?
Who had a problem?
Where you took on the positive role.
You mean like if I'm counseling?
Yes.
There are people who I assist, and, you know, if I
When's
have...
When's the last time you went through that kind of experience? Where
I do it almost every day.
This is my advice to you. I suggest to you that perhaps you, rather than looking so much at what is negative in others, that you perhaps put a little bit more of the focus on what is positive in you and what you may be able to do for others at a positive level. Because what I hear from you is a bit more negativity than is desirable. That's what I hear. I hear a bit more negativity than is desirable.
Do you know that people laugh at you? They tell lies on you just to have you admitted into psyche.
Okay, I got you. Let's move on. Thank you very much. I understand the dilemma that you face. And as you said, given what you experience, it is necessary for you to get as much support as possible to, you know, this question of having to get that kind of support is vital and most important for people going through what you experience. I'd just like you to see it, to what extent you can get more of the positives out of life rather than so many negatives. Hello?
Hey.
Down to brass tacks.
Good morning.
Hi, morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm okay. Just let me say that there's some people who are pointing out that in this piece with the Prime Minister, this exchange between the Prime Minister and Emmanuel Joseph, that they saw the Prime Minister say no, but apparently it was muted. There are some people who didn't see the no. I didn't see that at the time either, so maybe I missed something, and others did too. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
I'm well, and you?
Not so good. I have a story that is very depressing. My wife and I came from Canada to Barbados on the 13th of December. I don't know. My wife was supposed to leave on the 17th of January back to Canada. She went and took the COVID test. The COVID test my wife took, the people took a whole week to get for the result. We called, we did everything that the government says you're supposed to do. Eventually, my wife went to Emo's clinic, speak to someone. Eventually, my wife, on Wednesday evening, after calling the Prime Minister's office, her personal residence, everywhere, my wife came down with COVID. My wife is in Saint Lucie. The people, they say she got minor symptoms. She's in a large room with a man and a woman. No curtains in the room. Nothing in the room. The toilet is exposed. Everything is... Nobody even come and sanitize the room when you're there. My wife have to take all her stuff down there. The bed. No pillows. Then, because of the Joseph is my friend. I went school at Parkinson with him. I went school at St. Paul's with him. And that's, I don't know if you're talking about when she said that is fake news or whatever the comment was. But I'm telling you, my friend, I would like to find out this contact tracing. On Wednesday evening, they called my wife and told my wife she got COVID. I asked the doctor, where can I go and get a test? Today is Friday, sir, and I haven't got a phone call to ask for somebody to tell me where to go and get a test. My wife gave the people my name, so for contact tracing. Nobody has called us to ask us. My wife said there were four other people at the house. Nobody. I had to call all the people I know that came in contact with me to go down to Emo's yesterday to get a test. I would like you to ask the Prime Minister or ask whoever's in charge. When visitors come into Barbados and they're supposed to get a 48-hour test to get back out of Barbados, then they're going to give you the fast-track test. Because I went yesterday and I asked for a fast-track test to find out if I got COVID, and nobody could tell me if I'm going to get a fast-track test or I'd have to wait a week before I find out if I got COVID. Can you help me with that?
I can't really help you. First of all, you said that nobody called you. To say where you could go and get a test, but you do know that you could have gone to Enmore, because
you eventually
went there.
Yes, and I took my sister, my brother, and two other friends. We all went there because we supposed to be citizens doing the right thing and not hiding from doing what is right.
Well, let me say to you that, first of all, I want to acknowledge the frustration that you have endured in all of this. And, you know, Barbados, like so many other countries, we're facing a situation that is unprecedented.
Yes, I know.
There are many ways in which we are not necessarily going to get everything right. And where we are failing, certainly we have to, as people say, wheel and come again, look and see how we can improve the situation. As it stands right now, your most pressing issue is what?
My most pressing issue is that my wife, they put my wife in a room with a gentleman.
Right, so you're concerned, but your wife already has been diagnosed as having been positive for COVID.
They say she's
at
the bottom of the scale. I don't know. She got something to call some number 20 at the low end.
So
she might be basically a carrier and not some person who
she does not show symptoms.
She has no symptoms.
She's asymptomatic, as they say.
Yes, that's the word that I said. A carrier. That's the word I wanted.
Right. Your concern.
My friend,
hold on,
yes,
just hold on. Your concern,
go ahead.
Your concern is that she is in a room with somebody else who has symptoms?
two people, a brother and a sister. Yes.
And you, your fear is this, that because she is asymptomatic and is in a room with people who are symptomatic, that her viral load is most likely going to increase. That's your fear.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I would have to get guidance from one of the doctors on that. That's one of the.
Okay.
That's something that a medical practitioner who is familiar with this matter would have to address, because I cannot say that it isn't possible that the viral load could increase. I mean, the viral load may well increase even with the passage of time. So I don't know. We will have to get an answer for you on that. You're not
okay,
so it's a question of her exposure as you see it.
Yes.
That's your worry. It's your big
yes.
worry.
And another thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to explain how the, because she tell me how the room is.
Mm-hmm.
Basically yesterday when she was talking to me, the lady come and ask her about a pillar, and she had to say, bring a pillowcase. Mm-hmm. It's not nice down there. It is not nice. My wife, I have a two-story house. I will say where my two-story house is.
Mm-hmm.
My wife asked if she could stay downstairs in the room that is unoccupied. They said no. So we paid $119 a night when we came from Canada to Barbados. And we spent 4 days, which is $1,000 and change, to stay in a hotel to do what is right. Okay. Now my wife asked,
but you
You've
come from Canada.
Yes, sir.
And you know.
Yes, I'm from Toronto.
And you know full well.
I live in Barbados. I was 22 years old.
Okay.
I lived in Canada for 48 years, man.
All right, sir. Just take it easy. Just take it easy. You know, in all of this, you've come from a country where COVID has been quite rampant.
Running rampant.
A lot of people in parts of Canada have been on lockdown, and a lot of people have died.
Yes.
From what we are seeing, what you are saying to us today, I want to say to you, I understand your concern, your frustration, and possibly your fear as well. But I think I'd like to get you in touch with somebody who can speak with you on this matter in a more private setting. And if you can, just leave your telephone number with the producer, and I will get somebody to speak to you. Okay,
yeah,
sir?
Let me ask you, because my wife, they said my wife is there for five to 14 days or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
My wife asked about staying there. They said she got to go and stay at one of their hotels. They asked who's going to pay, because my wife needs internet. The internet down there is terrible. My
mm-hmm.
wife needs internet because my wife is an accountant.
Mm-hmm.
She have to work.
Okay.
And she cannot work. She was working from home. She cannot work now because
she doesn't have access to the internet.
Pitiful. And then they tell her that she have to go and pay at a hotel to first test. She will be back in Canada on the 17th of January. She went on. Can't they put her at a hotel and pay whatever it costs for she to stay there so she can do the work? My wife could get fired. Who's going to support my wife and I when my wife get fired after working for a company for 23 years? 23 years!
Hmm.
I'm 70 years old. My wife is younger than I am. She still haven't retired. She working for 23 years at this company. And the government don't have decency to say, well, we're going to put you up for the next 14 days. My wife asked the doctor, how about the wristband? The tracking band so she could stay down. I have a two-story house. Fortunately, I was not very educated. I live in Barbados, and I went to Canada, and I worked hard for what I got. And my wife could stay downstairs. I don't have to go downstairs. My house is just like, if I rent my house, my downstairs apartment, to a stranger. No, that is not going to happen. But they want me to pull another $1,000 to pay some hotel when the government is at fault for not doing the test in the 48 hours that they were supposed to do the test. And the thing is that the second test came back, the ones we did at the clinic in Black Rock, it came back negative. And she only found out last night that test was negative. When the doctor bring the paperwork and says, here's your two tests. This one is negative. This one is positive. My wife took four tests. One in Canada, three in Barbados, two in Barbados is negative, and one is positive. That's all I got to say, my brother.